Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we once again assess Scottish football's incomings and outgoings. Jim Goodwin's not going anywhere for now after a backing of sorts from Dave Cormack. Ryan Porteous and Kevin Nisbet look set to be sold to Watford and Millwall respectively. And O is out to hit the ground running as a Celtic player. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
We've got a big 5 days ahead, Gordon. Transfer window coming to a close and teams in desperate need of help, and none more so than two that are facing off at the weekend, Hibs v Aberdeen. Some people suggesting that whoever loses that could face the exit. Huge games everywhere. Looking forward to the week ahead.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. I'm getting it in early now. Jim has been told he needs a good win at the weekend or he's out. I think that's a bit unfair. I wonder what the Aberdeen fans think of it. I know that a lot of them wanted him out of the club after Monday's result against Darvo. And Lee Johnston, a man that will be standing on the other side of the dugout, he's under severe pressure, losing what you would say to his best players.
01419511025, that is the number you need. So come on down, speak to Gordon DL and or Mark Wilson and let them know what is on your mind tonight. Are you still reacting, Celtic fans, to the arrival of South Korean forward Oh, who's been speaking today, and we will hear from him. Rangers fans, are you now already assessing your next piece of business, wondering when it will be following Todd Cantwell? When will we see him line up for the first team? Two of our other bigger clubs really, really at the forefront of the discussion tonight, I think you have to say. That statement from Aberdeen last night, remarkable, got everybody talking. So Aberdeen fans, interested observers, what do you make of the backing, if you can call it that, for Jim Goodwin? And as the guys have said, what are they calling it, El Sacchio? Is that, we can't.
Harsh.
We wouldn't plunge that to those harsh depths on this show, would we? Between no. Hibs and Aberdeen this weekend. So Ryan Porteous, Kevin Nisbet look like they're heading down south. Any regret fans up here, maybe? Because Glasgow's big two. Would you have taken a nibble at either of those players? Would you have preferred them to stay in Scotland rather than head away? Let us know. 01419511025. I'm actually just wondering how you two are. It feels like there's a bit of tension in the air, because you know it's like when every like strong relationship, and sometimes it just the head towards its conclusion, maybe other people start to come into the picture. Mark was in here with Roger Hanna on Monday. You were in here with Andy Halliday on Tuesday. I saw the way you were staring at Andy Halliday. I saw the way you were admiring the knowledge of Roger Hanna. Just wonder if
one thing we can agree on,
the cards.
One thing we can agree on, none of them have got a decent head of hair between them. But Roger and Andy.
Are you all right? I thought you were mentioning me there.
I said one thing we can agree on. Look, as we're fighting already, disagreeing.
You're somehow the best of the bad bunch, is what he was trying to say.
But I enjoyed Roger.
The Sniper's Dream and the Turkish Delight, they have not got one strand between that. Yes, I totally agree.
It's all right, okay. You've just answered my question. It's safe to say
we're
you're back.
Together. Oh, walking back, yeah. I missed you, Daz. I missed you.
It's like a lot of relationships have been involved in it. You need a break. Okay, most of them I don't ever get back, but I'm here tonight and I thought
well, that must be a first that you've come back to.
Well, it's great to have you both ring. And I'm sure the listeners will agree. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'm fascinated by this stage in the week. Mark Wilson, whilst we let the calls pour in, Celtic fans, what are you making of the signing of Oh? He's been speaking today, we'll hear from him. Nisbet, Porteous, any clubs wish they had been signed up here rather than head elsewhere? Jim Goodwin, Aberdeen fans, and even everyone else. I really want to know what you make of this, the way that he's been sort of given the backing but told pretty much that he needs to get something this weekend. Do let us know your thoughts. You've got all of that going on, Mark. You've got the transfer window. We're still coming off the back of a marvellous week of Scottish Cup action, and then straight into some big league games this weekend in the not too distant future.
Yeah, well, starting with the transfer window, it always heats up obviously at this time. So you're seeing comings and goings. Jens obviously gone back. I heard that last night when I was listening to the show. I've got to say, I thought Jens for Celtic did a good job. I thought he looked well, but it just goes to show you the strength in that team. And then O coming in for Celtic, I hear Ange Postecoglou saying that he was the one he was after all along. That looks an exciting signing. I must admit, I'm like everybody else, I've not seen a lot of him, but if the manager has been tracking him for a long time, you would think he would fit in. And then you go to this weekend's games. Now, it might look like routine stuff for Celtic and Rangers, but the huge one is the one at Easter Road. Jim Goodwin coming off the back of the result against Darvel the other night. We left here. I made the statement that the pitch was too good for Aberdeen not to win. And look where that,
so you did.
Look where that ended
so you
up.
Did. Well done.
And well done to Darvel. So huge pressure on Jim Goodwin, but a huge pressure on the Aberdeen players as well to actually perform. And Dad's rightly touched on Hibs under huge pressure as well, possibly going into that game without Portis, without Nesbitt. Mm. It's that could be a big boost for Jim's team.
Football's very fickle. You look at the two teams, both in the top six as we stand here. But both managers under severe pressure. And as everybody, I think, said the guessing game, if one of them lose at the weekend, then it'll cost them their job.
Got to be some mileage in those discussions tonight. I know we tend to be obsessed with all things Glasgow and the West, and we make no apology for it, but I think Ryan Porteous, Kevin Nisbet, and this Jim Goodwin situation in the statement, I feel like those stories have become so big that surely we can delve right in. With either some fans of other clubs who are interested in throwing their tuppence worth in, or indeed maybe we can attract some Aberdeen and Hibs fans to discuss those, because they are certainly big stories over the last couple of days. Let's hear from Celtic's new signing right now to kick things off. O says he's hoping to repay Ange Postecoglou's persistence with lots of goals. The striker first heard about the interest in September. He says it took a lot of work to get the deal done. He was of course speaking through a translator.
Actually, there's nothing much I've done. It was all thanks to the manager, because it was a pretty long term, like few months of the negotiations. It's easy for the manager to give up when it doesn't seem like working out, but he's very thankful that the manager didn't give him up. He knows that the manager was in Japan before, and because of that he was sure that he knows the good points about the Asian players, and that had certainly influence on him. As much as the manager wanted him, he wants to pay it back by scoring a lot of goals.
Quite like that background information, Mark. It's just interesting, because if Ange Postecoglou has wanted him since September, did he want him as well as Giakoumakis? Did he want him instead of Giakoumakis before he even knew that Giakoumakis wanted away? Has he already been aware that Giakoumakis wanted away and it was a replacement? Quite interesting just to consider.
That, I've got to think that the last one you said there, you've got to think that the Celtic manager knew there was a problem.
Yeah, as far back as September.
On the horizon. I don't think it would have been sprung the same day as it was sprung to us. You know, if the Celtic manager is well aware of what's going on under his watch, he knows his players. Upstairs, Michael Nicholson probably would have told him, listen, Giakoumakis' agent's on, he's not quite happy. So it goes to show you, he's true to his word. He doesn't hang about. You know, he doesn't rest in his laurels. If people aren't happy or want to move on, he's got people lined up, and he's went ahead and he's got it over the line.
Of course, Giakoumakis hasn't gone anywhere yet. But 01419511025 in the phones. Let's bring in Anthony, who's a Celtic fan from Lanark. What's your point tonight, Anthony?
How you doing, guys? My son here, he's quite nervous, but he's never been in the radio before.
So oh, brilliant. What's his name?
Hi, my name is Caden. I'm a
Celtic fan. Caden, good to have you. You sound already like you speak more sense than Mark Wilson or Gordon DL, so you don't need to be nervous. What's the point tonight, Anthony?
Well, it's actually just to say about Mark Wilson not making sense. I actually completely agree with Mark there. And,
thanks, Annie.
I think he's totally right in what he's saying. And for me as a Celtic fan, it's so refreshing with the transfer window, obviously, just now. Because previous years, for a long time as a Celtic fan, we've always questioned who we're getting in. We didn't know what was happening. It was last day business. But as Mark said there, Big Ange seems to be just on the ball. He knows if there maybe is an issue, he's covering that. He seems to be getting players in before we get rid of some players. I think it's fantastic now for a Celtic fan.
I can't disagree. I think Mark and Anthony both make a good point with the fact that he's been very good in the transfer market. You've got to give him all the credit in the world. The players that he's brought in, how they've improved the team, how they've excited the Celtic fans. He could bring anyone in just now, and the Celtic fans have got total belief that they'll hit the ground running and they'll make such a big impact going forward. So, yeah, I think he's a very forward-thinking manager. He looks at situations. He knows how to improve a side. He'll move very quickly. He covers every base. He doesn't leave himself short. He knows he's sitting there with a big, big squad full of talented players, which becomes difficult to keep everybody happy because everybody wants game time. Everybody wants to play. But I think slowly but surely in the next couple of days, you'll see one or two leaving.
I suppose it's all you can do up to this point, Mark. Let's be honest. Everybody thinks they're great at predicting what signing is going to be good and what signing is going to be bad. We have learned our lesson, surely, in Scottish football, that they can be tough to predict. So only time tells you how good a signing all becomes. But the least you can do at this point is give off the impression to your fan base that it's all under control and it's all planned and you wanted this guy and you identified this guy and you were comfortable that if this one moved on, this is where the jigsaw would go.
Very little drama about the way Celtic go about signing players these days. And Anthony's right, that has not always been the case. Even back to my time at the club, before my time at the club as well, you know, there was a big furore about who might be coming and players in negotiations then up breaking down, fans disappointed, rightly so, the fingers pointed at the board for not getting over the line. It's a totally different format nowadays. And I think one of Ange Postecoglou's best attributes is that he's ruthless. I don't think he minds shifting players one bit. And well, it's quite obvious he doesn't mind, because players that have done well for him, if they aren't happy fitting into his side or want to chip in, then he'll just move them on. And I think the top managers in world football have that. And then you get the managers below them who will try and appease everybody, make everybody happy. I don't think Ange Postecoglou is one of those. I think he's quite happy to cut people to make the best team to take Celtic forward.
Anthony, if and when Giakoumakis leaves, does that test your trust in Ange Postecoglou at all? Because I know he's a very popular player. Or again, is that another one of manager knows best, no questions asked for you?
I think for me, Postecoglou's earned that kind of faith for the Celtic fans to say, you know, well, listen, if he thinks Giakoumakis moving on and we've got Owen potentially to replace him now, then for me, I don't foresee that as being an issue, because as Mark says there, that he's pretty ruthless. He seems to be pretty ruthless. And they're more than happy to come. They're more than happy to do what he's asking and play the way he's wanting to play. And again, as Gordon made a point there, he's got a huge squad there. He's really, really talented players, and not one of them seem to be taking a huff as a lot of professionals can, because they're not getting game time. They know they'll get on, whether it be 60 minutes, but they might start the following game. They all just seem to want to do the best for Big Ange and the team. And for me, as a fan, it's great to see that.
Good point, Anthony. Thank you, Caden, for joining us as well. Let's hear a bit more from O. He's hoping to give Celtic fans, like the guys on the phone, a debut to remember. He admits that his first training session wasn't easy, but is going to work hard to adapt as quickly as possible.
Yes, it was very tough yesterday, but it's his time to adapt, and when he's fully adapted, he is sure that he can make a big development here. I know that Celtic is a very proactive team, and I think I'm a player who's very strong in the penalty box, and I think I can take a good position when there's a chance. I want to give good impression on the debut match, and also a match that nobody ever can forget.
That shift from third person to first person confused me there, but I don't think your translation skills to Korean would be much better, so I'll hold my criticism for now.
It's not my forte.
It's funny that nobody will be surprised to hear that revelation. Maybe one more we can get our teeth stuck into tomorrow night. But Ange Postecoglou sometimes doesn't hang around. We do see these players quite quickly But I don't know if it'll be this week or not.
Tannadice always, it'll be difficult, but
Really difficult last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was going to mention that, but general, in general play, sometimes Tannadice can be a hard place to go and get 3 points. If you're top of your game, they'll certainly go and get the 3 points, we know that, but he may just look at a fixture at home. I don't think he'll be in any rush. You know, the lads just joined, first training session, might let them bed in for a week or so, 10 days or whatever it may be, handpick a game, get them off the bench, introduce them to the crowd. He's got a good knack of doing things like that.
You came from Cumbernauld and not Korea, Mark Wilson. Slightly different, but do you remember your first training session? He said the other, you know, it was tough, eye-opening, difficult.
My first
at Celtic, did it feel...
100%. I went home. I'm no joke. I went home and I was staying with my mum and dad at the time. Went home from Barrafield and says, I honestly can't cut this. This is a level above anything.
It took you about 6 years to realise it.
I went in a Tuesday. Of course, back then, Tuesday was your most difficult day. You got, you know, I did a VO2 max first thing in the morning because you wanted to assess my fitness.
It's a good breakfast, good protein in that.
So I went into training, burst as it was. Then loads of small-sided games with top opposition and then running after it. And I thought, I am beat. So just the levels going from Dundee United to there, you know, it's huge. It's huge to kind of get used to that. But I must say, see after, Daz jokingly says, see after a good few months of training like that every day, I felt as fit as I'd ever been, and I kind of kept my fitness level up since then.
Let's bring in Brian, who's a Celtic fan. What's your point tonight, Brian?
Oh, Jeezy peeps, man.
I think I've still got that button. I've not used it this week. It was starting to die down and Brian's just resurrected it. I'm happy with that, Brian. Take it away.
It's great to have Mark and Gordon back together, man. The dream team. I mean, in my opinion, these guys should be on every night, man. I'd sack the rest of them. Just
no,
to
Brian. Brian. Where's the boss, actually, Brian? You want to negotiate our contract?
I need a Wednesday off. That's my bath night.
Right, imagine that for me, though. For my
you
sanity.
Brian's got a point. Don't want to listen to that Keevans and Hannah's and Bartley's and Halliday's. And
Brian, we are running out of time, so as much as this love-in is enjoyable for these two, what's your point tonight?
My point tonight, guys, is obviously we all realise that this year when Celtic took on some of these teams in Europe, that they went toe-to-toe with them, they gave themselves a good account of themselves, but the main thing was they couldn't put the ball in the back of the net, so they brought this guy in. I mean, I just want to ask Mark in particular, maybe Gordon coming after it, and his opinion as well, if he thinks O's the man that's going to step up to the plate and start putting these chances in the back of the net next year when we reverse these teams in the Champions League again.
Honest answer, Brian, I don't know, because when guys like us say we've not seen a lot of them, that means we've barely seen anything, just clips like yourself probably on YouTube. I mean, he looks a part on YouTube, but how many times have we said that? But you're right, Celtic did have a problem in the Champions League scoring goals, and they've got two outstanding strikers as it is. Kyogo and Giakoumakis are outstanding strikers, in my opinion, at this level. Going up a level, you know, banking on a 21-year-old just new to the country doing that for you, it's a big ask, but I suppose that's what Ange Postecoglou's hoping. He'll hope that any player that comes into that team can be an improvement in the ones that are there. So he'll be hoping that those
the one thing I'll say he's got in his favour, he's certainly got plenty of firepower behind him. Middle of the park, wide areas, pace, people that can create. So if he gets himself into the right positions and, you know, he's a natural finisher, he'll certainly get every opportunity to put the ball in the back of the net. But like Mark, I've not seen him, so it's very hard to judge him. He's just in the country, Scottish football. The rest of the lads seem to adapt to it, been absolutely brilliant since I've come into Celtic. So, yeah, I'm like most Celtic fans and football fans, I'm looking forward to seeing every new signing at all the clubs once the window's finished.
There's two other, there are some other possibilities, Mark, that, you know, just a year's experience in the Champions League means Kyogo's better for it and Abada's better for it. You know, it's not always about necessarily signing someone to make you better than you previous were. You hope that you know your current group develops.
Yeah.
Again, I think based on the sort of statistics you read about O and some of the analysis that's been done, I don't think he's crazily prolific or converts like, you know, insane number of chances. That's not even meant to be critical. I just don't think he's a freak of that nature where you're suddenly gonna, you know, score every chance you get, because who is? But is it not more about just trying to give yourself the best chance? Maybe put a couple of different guys in there that have got
different attributes. I think so. I think with Jacky Marcus and Kyogo, you've certainly got that. You've got the big physical striker. You've got Kyogo, who's quick and his work rate's great, and two of them are excellent finishers. Well, has obviously been earmarked to play a different role in that, and we'll get to see what that is. But I'm sure that, look, when managers make signings, they are hoping, they might not look at when they sign them, but they're hoping there'll be an upgrade in anything they've got. And I'm pretty sure that at 21 years old, you know, with a lot of years ahead of him, Ange Postecoglou will hope that he can develop into the main Celtic striker.
Thank you, Brian. 01419511025. Why not give us a call right now? It's the perfect time to pick up that phone. Maybe you're a Rangers fan who's looking at your next piece of business after getting over the arrival of Todd Cantwell. Or what about you Aberdeen fans? Fascinated by that statement last night, fascinated by the ongoing managerial situation. Why not let us know what you think? We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 01419511025. If you want to get in touch, and please do, the more we hear from you, the less I need to listen to these two. So you're doing a public service, really. Get in touch and let us know what is on your mind this evening. It's Thursday night, of course. We're slowly edging towards the weekend's games, and we've very much got the transfer window on our minds. Let's bring in Colin, who's a Rangers fan, on that topic. Colin, how are you? Are you well?
Yeah, all good, this evening, guys. Good to speak to you as always. Hope everybody's well.
Yeah, can't complain. What's your point tonight?
For me, it's a real big one for me. It's Ryan Porteous. I can't believe my club isn't at the table for this one. Potentially, you can look at this deal two ways. One, you go in, you pay £500,000 to have to take him and potentially come straight into the Rangers team at the moment, depending on the injuries, on how soon or whatever, recover, how quickly. So potentially, you've got the boy in the team for 6 months. Can cover many positions. He does well, great. I'd be more than happy to see him develop and continue under the kind of the Michael Beale project. But there's also the other option that the boy does well. This boy's away in the summer down to England, and Rangers pick up the fee of multi-million pounds.
He's not going to sign just to the summer, though, would he, Colin? You need to commit longer than that, surely.
No, you would surely commit, but if the boy does really well, got you. Somebody could potentially come in for him in the summer.
Sorry, yeah, I picked that up wrong. Well, in case anyone's wondering why this is relevant, just to give you the background today, he is set for talks with Watford, Ryan Porteous. Mm-hmm. Hibs have accepted a bid of around £500,000 for the defender. He's out of contract come the summer. It's not a bad fee, I guess, for that. This is a similar figure as was spoken about John Souter, remember, last year. And he stayed at Hearts till the end of the season, as we know. So he's headed south today to discuss personal terms with the English Championship side. Firstly, what do you make of that in a nutshell? And then Colin's more direct point that he wishes Rangers had gone.
Yeah, I'll pick up on Colin's point. It's a matter of opinions. If you'd have said that to me about a year ago or so, I'd have said no. I didn't think he was that sort of a player. He's changed my mind. I've watched the lad. I like the fact that he's a centre half that can get into middle part and look comfortable. Gives you that rotation of a couple of positions. I think he'd have been a very good £500,000 purchase. I really do. I think he was worth a chance. I think that we lose too many of our Scottish players to English clubs too soon. I know Watford, obviously, and the fact of the financial side, they'll be able to pay good money. But I totally agree with the caller. Yeah. I think there was a chance there for £500,000 to get in and take him because of the fact that he can play those positions. He can cover for you, centre back, centre midfield. Mm. I think he's very comfortable in both.
I think he's a player that the Rangers fans would have loved. Just his attributes, just the way he plays the game.
Now, as in loved future tense, because they certainly don't love him.
No, now
currently.
If he was in a Rangers strip, okay. I think he's the type they would love. Now, they don't like him just now because he is, always involved in something against their team, against Morelos. Whether that's actually him scoring a goal, that was a brilliant goal at Ibrox, or you know, getting into a tussle, they hate him for it. But when you've got a player that's that kind of aggressive and you can shape it in the right direction, then you've got a plus point on your side. He looks like he's a real leader as well, and he's a good footballer, a good defender, defends his box well, good in both boxes in terms of aerial duels. I think the Rangers fans would have liked to have seen him. He's something different from what they've got at the centre of their defence. I mean, Goldson's always going to play, but I think that left-sided centre half, when Suter's back, if Hylander ever gets back, and Davies, I think it's really up for grabs. I think Portis would be right in the mix to take that spot.
Colin, what about that numbers game though? I mean, Goldson and Davies are there as first choice. The club have backed Leon King with a contract. James Sands, yeah, fine, maybe hasn't set the heather alight, but he's there. Philippe Hylander presumably returns at some point, whenever that may be. Is it a position Rangers needed to address? Because it's not just about Ryan Portis. They don't seem to be looking at any centre-backs.
I don't see Hylander returning, if I'm being honest. I think that'll kind of play itself out. The Sands one, as we've spoke before, that deal likely dies in the summer. So there's two players. And bear in mind, we spoke about this previously, we say Sands is a utility man. Sands is a £4.5 million utility man if we want him. Portis is a £500,000 utility man with more quality. He's got a wand of a left foot I've not seen since Terry Butcher.
I'm starting to think this is Ryan's uncle Colin on the phone, which is
agent.
Fine, don't mind that.
He's on his way up for Watford to on the car, isn't he?
Do you think the numbers game does work out? Because like I said, right, there's two ways of looking at this. It's Ryan Portis, he's Scottish, he's under the nose, you get him for decent money. But you're just taking him because of that, because he's there? Because it doesn't look like Rangers are prioritising any centre-back just now. So why do you think that is something Rangers should have done?
See, for the money, I just think that you've got the option. You know, you get injuries. You know, Ryan Jack's picked up a few injuries in his Ranger career, especially lately, but he's back playing to the top of his potential. I just think that he can play in the middle of the park. I would have no problems making him a sitting midfielder. I think he gives you option that you can go. I know that obviously Michael Beale doesn't do it yet, but he can go three at the back. We add centre back
again, though, right? Just to test that theory.
I think he adds to your
if
squad.
If it's already a congested midfield, that you're then going to add Todd Cantwell. Granted, not defensive. Raskin, who is more defensive. That's what I mean. Is that not the priority? Or not my priority, it seems to be Rangers' priority.
Yeah, but I'll put it against look over the city. They've got midfield players coming out of their ears with the sort of a same ability. They don't have many that are that sitting midfield. They're all attacking midfield.
I don't think you would even get a look in as a midfielder at Rangers. I think when you go to clubs like Celtic and Rangers, if you're a centre-half predominantly, you're very rarely seen in midfield, because they've got the quality there and they've got the finances to bring in quality. I think he would go in there as a centre half. But the big question is, would Hibs sell him to Rangers for 500,000? Is there a buyout? I don't think there is there? But for 500,000, there's a difference from selling him down the road to Watford to selling him to club here for 500,000. So I don't even know
that. But you've got to remember, it's not that long ago that Rangers were playing a midfield player at centre half in Sands, and everybody thinks that Sands is a squad player.
Yeah, but is that not presumably something Michael Beale always wanting to get away from rather than repeat?
Probably, but what my point is, and I agree with Martin in the sense that I'm not saying that again there is a midfield player. I think in the modern day game now, you need players that can play one or two positions. Although you carry a big squad, you can see quickly you can turn around some injuries and have been left short. As I say, Sands had to play at centre back, Lundstrom, midfield player, had to play at centre back. So you've got to really cover yourself, and that's why I think Postecoglou is really good at transfer windows. Is he's got every position covered.
Okay, thank you, Colin. Let's bring in Mark in Drumchapel, see what he thinks. Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not bad, thanks. Good, not bad.
What do you think then? You've had Colin on saying he thinks it's a major mistake that Rangers are letting Ryan Portis go down to Watford. Are you on board or disagree?
I'm actually on the way to the gym now, but if he wants a lift in, I'll take him.
I'll take that as a no to Rangers for you then.
Absolutely not. Rangers need to stop just buying anybody that comes available, because we've already got too many new people, and hopefully we can start to get rid of them very shortly. Gordon's absolutely right what he's talking about with Sands, who is a midfielder, and we're playing him at the back now, and it just doesn't work. So
we need to actually get people who are playing in the right positions and have a setback for that we can rely on every week and no be jumping into tackles and getting sent off, and it doesn't work. So, no, Collins.
Depends though, Mark Wilson, because a lot of Hibs fans will point out his disciplinary record isn't that bad. He doesn't get sent off that often for these tackles. Granted, like, there's going to be high profile ones. Some people don't like the pantomime aspect, you know, that kind of pointing in people's faces or whatever, that we see Ryan Portis do fine. But just the way Mark on the line presented it, you know, almost as fact, as if Rangers would only be going for him because he was available, clubs might actually think this guy's a good player, a guy who's come in, played internationally and done yeah. well, got a lot of experience for his age.
Well, I think clubs will be looking at that because he's a good player. But the opportunities arose where Hibs haven't dealt with the contract situation particularly well, and this player's now presented for a cut price deal that you want to get him for. So again, I'm amazed that our clubs haven't looked him up here for such a short price, especially when you look at the year he's had. International player now, and I wonder how that will go forward, if he'll be involved in future squads. I think he will, and a move will certainly help his case in that. But I mean, fans don't like him pointing people's faces because it's the opposition fans that don't like him. If that's one of your club and you're seeing somebody that shows that, it goes down his passion. Oh, he really cares. Look at him, and he becomes a fan's favourite.
There's another term that's used for it, but I don't think you can describe it on a family show.
Okay, alright, I'll leave it at that. But I think there is an opportunity for a left-sided centre-half to go in there and really make the position their own, like Goldson did on the right side for Rangers. I don't think anyone that's held that position this season, including the midfielders that Daz mentioned, has earned that right to think, I'm playing every week.
Colin, is, even if we push the disciplinary thing to one side, do you not think he's a good enough player to offer the Rangers squad something? Mark on the line.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's good enough to play in Europe either, which is ultimately where Rangers should be aiming to play at a higher level, especially in the Champions League. We've had guys coming in for other teams in this league that have done well because they stand out at the clubs they're at. But as soon as you go in to Celtic and Rangers, it's a completely different ball game.
Those are a mixed bag though, aren't they? Because I can sense the ones that you're referring to that maybe have looked a bit out of depth at that level, but for every one of them, wouldn't it have been so long ago you and your Rangers fans, fellow fans, would have phoned on here and saying, look how good Glenn Kamara is in these European nights, you know, only cost 50 grand from Dundee. It'd be, you know, for every bad example, there's ones that have worked, surely.
Aye, absolutely. Absolutely, but we've also had probably more, like, guys that have come in who have stood out in their own club and came to Rangers, and then when they've came to Rangers, they just can't handle the pressure and the level that Rangers are trying to get to. Not just Rangers, Celtic as well, obviously.
Yeah, Mark, it has to be on an individual basis, because for every Chris Killen, there's a Scott McDonald at Celtic.
Gosh,
for every that Mark mentioned, I said Glenn Kamara. The only thing would be, if you're Ryan Porteous, you would maybe stick up your hand and say, ah, but well, that cap for my country on a really important night when I had to help them keep a clean sheet away in Ukraine would suggest that I can do that. Mark might respond and say, well, that was just one game and would like to see a bit more.
Well, it shows signs of progression for Ryan Porteous. Of course it's difficult. Nobody's saying it's not difficult going to Celtic and Rangers and living up to it. And of course there will be more failures than there are successes. But that doesn't even mean to say then you just don't look in your own back garden, because a lot of them don't live up to the occasion or can't compete at the Champions League level. I mean, how many players have come in from foreign countries and leagues and still not lived up to the Champions League expectations? So I think that can be pointed at a lot of players that come to this country, not just Scottish players or players playing their trade at one of our other Premiership clubs and taking a step up to Celtic or Rangers.
Yeah, look, I can understand Mark's comments, you know, because you want the best players available. I get back to the football now as a squad game. You need quality throughout the squad. Gone are the days where you just look at that starting 11. You're looking at teams are running with 19, 20 players now. Some, probably Celtic, Rangers, Hearts will be running with more. If you ask me a question right now, in the development of Portis and, for instance, Young King, right? They've given him a new contract. I think he's a very good talent. I think right now, Portis is ahead of King.
Mark, just out of curiosity, would you feel the same about Kevin Nisbet? Are you surprised neither of Glasgow's big two, I know you're not bothered necessarily who Celtic sign, but are you surprised neither of them have looked to stop Millwall getting the player?
Nah, not really, nah, because I feel like it's the kind of same thing. He could come to Celtic or Rangers and he could be exactly what he's doing at Hibs, but then again, what if he doesn't?
Well, that's it, I suppose. That's every, that's summed up pretty well. What if he doesn't? But that looks to be the other one. Quite a day for Hibs. You know, if you look at arguably the two best players, both going, both for fees that you would have hoped for more previously. Well, certainly in the case of Porteous, his contract's about to end. So you're weighing up getting a bit of money in versus how is this going to affect the team and how do you replace them? And then, like I say, from the wider football discussion, are you surprised that Nisbet hasn't attracted any interest from the big two?
Well, Hibs have got to look after their own finances, where they are in the league. You would imagine, you know, sparing disaster, they'll probably finish there or thereabouts. Cups, you know, they're out of those, so they have to recoup something. But you're right, I mean, Nisbet, £2 million, Portis, £500,000. It's not a lot of money for your two best players, and you've got to say in two crucial areas. You take both of them out from each end of the pitch, I think Hibs are in a spot of bother trying to replace those two.
Especially when you're a manager and you're looking at this fixture coming up, thinking, if I lose this, I might be heading down south with them back home. It's a big loss. Mark's right. Everybody will tell you, build your team right through the spine, goalkeeper, centre-half, centre-midfield player, centre-forward. They've lost two very important players.
Thank you very much, though, to Mark in Drumchapel. Enjoy the gym. Just do what Gordon Dale does. Wander around, pester everybody.
Cafe.
Go to the vending machine. Four coffees.
Don't take any sugar in the coffee. You'll feel better when you come out.
You've
got
to look after the waistline, obviously, don't you?
Skim milk, no sugar. Out you go, you feel top dollar.
And if you walk...
And look taller. I got a lot of compliments in the gym today.
If you walk...
Unbelievable.
If you walk enough laps of the gym and pester enough people, you actually burn off the same calories, apparently. That's what he's heard. That's his fitness DVD that he's going to release. Good time to call, by the way, whilst you get the image of Gordon Dale and Lycra out your head. We'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson is here, Gordon Dale is alongside him. Just something that really bothered me before the news. Did you honestly say someone came up to you in the gym and complimented you because you were looking good today?
Yeah.
I point blank refuse to believe that.
That's 100% true. Couldn't believe the age I was. Absolutely. And I thank the party of 20 that was there, obviously, looking about the gym.
Do you know that I actually was speaking about you today? I was down at your... This place has got a lot to answer for. I was back at your old school today.
DL High?
I thought I was named after you.
DL High? Yeah.
Because I had...
Dutch medalist, mate.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say. I went do a bit of research. I was there speaking to the pupils and I went round to... I was looking down the list because you told me you were Dutch medalist 1972. Couldn't see it, I must admit. I was looking for the statue, asking the teachers...
What did you get after again?
Being like the smartest kid in the school. Yeah.
As a prefect, I used to monitor people down the stair. Right
hand
side. Something
else begin
please.
With a P. No, prefect.
PR. I was down
looking, in front.
I was down looking for evidence of your educational achievements, but they must have been locked away.
What year did you leave school?
Fourth year. after more. After more levels. Right,
what year
that
was that? 19...
I left school and became a stonemason for 10 days.
I like this story, because I was
a part of the Mitchell Library history.
who needs school when you can go right out and do
right
that?
Right into that. I had to, because I had to get a tenner dig money, or I was out the house. And then
a minute, how did you get that job?
How did you go just straight interviewed to school? For, I just interviewed for...
What did you build in the library?
Three in one in mix and mortar.
Was the Mitchell Library not built in like...
No, it's the extension, right, Gordon, okay. Come on.
That's like the cafe.
I'll tell you what, that was a hard shift, that was. 8 hours a day, okay. Oh my God.
For one day?
8 hours, mate, 8 hours.
Can you bend it?
10 days, and I was very fortunate that I got signed in...
See,
my
listen, I'll arrange
career.
It. I'll get you. I think you should go back to the school and tell
I would
the
love
pupils
to.
This
I'd love to tell
story.
Them some of my school stories.
Yeah, I think they'd be delighted to have you. 0141 951-1025. Let's move quickly on before he gets himself in bother. William is a Celtic fan. What's your point tonight, William?
Good evening, guys. How's
you
doing?
Good, how are you?
Just to talk about a new signing. When I always see guys that are 21 or younger than that, like Abad, I always look at to see how many professional games they've played. And obviously Abad and O's played a similar amount of games. You know, it was interesting to see that he'd done national service as well, you know. So I just sort of compare it to, I was watching the B team, the Celtic B team against Leicester and on. I was looking at the gap, and I know Ange is trying to build a team for Europe for next season, and it came up a wee bit short this year, but hopefully he's got the second year will be a wee bit better, you know. So I'm just wondering what the guys think of where this guy O fits in, you know, between the B team and that gap between Celtic, where they want to go to Champions League level, or do you think that he's suitable enough to go in straight into the first team like Abada? I think Abada still looks a wee bit raw at times, you know, and I think O will probably the same, you know. That's the kind of impression I'll get. Him probably, he'll probably look a wee bit raw, but sometimes that can be a good thing as well, you know. So
Mark,
I think if there's the impression that Abada made in his first season, then the Celtic fans and Ange Postecoglou will be absolutely delighted, because he was a young man that came in, scored in his debut, and really didn't stop from there. I don't know if this was William's point, but the fact that he's had some, you know, he's had first team experience at 21. He mentioned the national service there, maybe a level of maturity and resilience built in him, rather than you see some young players who haven't had that life experience. So look, time will tell on this one, but where he's positioned, I'm pretty sure the Celtic manager signed him to challenge Kyogo and replace Giakoumakis. If he goes, if he doesn't go, then it's to push those other two as far as he can go.
Problem is, or it's not even a problem, Gordon, it's just this unavoidable reality where we are, whether that be Celtic or any of our teams that get into Europe. You cannot sign some sort of finished article that's guaranteed to bring you European success. So if Abada is raw, as William says, and I'm not arguing with the use of the word, but if your raw players come in at that age and get, as a wide man, get you a goal every three and a bit games when he doesn't even start them all, you're kind of going to have to take that probably. That's good. That's a good return. And you know, you're signing these sort of projects, you're signing guys for the future in the hope that you can piece it all together and shock someone in Europe, rather than signing players that have already done it.
Yeah, you just need to look at the big clubs, so-called big clubs in England with all the money. Chelsea, for instance, much money have they spent trying to find the perfect finisher? Other clubs do it. I agree with you. I think Abada's been, for coming into Celtic at a young age, I think he's been absolutely brilliant. And if O comes in and has the same impact, I'm sure that Celtic will be very happy. I see this guy right in with the first team squad, waiting for his opportunity, and he's 21, right? I know people say, oh, he's a young player. 21 is a perfect age. Get them on, get them playing. Look at the qualities get round about him, which will help him as well, and that makes such a difference. And if they can create chances for him, he gets an early goal, all of a sudden your confidence is sky high and you're off and running your career.
I mean, Mark, especially if we're talking about in the context of Giakoumakis leaving at some point, I think the assumption is it's now. If it's not, it surely is the summer. So he's surely, in the eyes of Ange Postecoglou and those at Celtic, the phrase B team doesn't even come into the consideration.
No, no.
He's not even in the gap, sorry, as William said. I wouldn't say so.
I think you'll see him involved pretty soon. Whether that's at Tannadice on Sunday or the following week, I think he'll be involved in the first team. And that's the only way I think a player like that can get better.
I mean, he's a South Korean international. Yeah. Granted, it's one cap, but
yeah, so he's not going to go backwards. It's a backward step. So the B team's great for development and bringing players through your academy and giving them a real taste of what it's like to mirror a first team. Oh, as a first team player, he's 21. Look, we're saying he's young, right? Okay, it's young, but there's players that have played hundreds of games by their 21. I went to Celtic at 21. I'd played maybe 120 games. I'd played in Europe, so I had some experience, and I didn't feel like I was a young boy getting in there. Really, I felt like I was there to make an impression. The first team worked out fine And from my point of view, I think all will be the same, and I think Ange Postecoglou will treat him the same as any other first teamer.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
If you want to take on Mark Wilson or the Ducks medalist, now is your chance. 01419511025. You get your call in before 7 o'clock. We put you in the hat. If you're the lucky contestant, you take one of these two on to try and win a signed ball. That's how Beat the Pundit works, and it's next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and we're waiting for you to get in touch. The first hour we've discussed, we heard from him via a translator, ready to hit the ground running at Celtic. We had some thoughts on whether Rangers or anyone else should have gone in for Ryan Porteous on the day that he seems to be heading to Watford. Kevin Nisbet seems to be heading to Millwall. Hearts have put out a statement tonight about one of their players, Toby Sibbick. I'll bring you news of that later on. And I'm still on the lookout for anyone who wants to react to that statement made by Aberdeen last night. But let's play this first, will we?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The Beat the Pundit drama has already started in the studio because producer Callum dashed to take the league table off the wall. That planted the seed in Gordon DL's head that there might be a league table related question, so he quickly went and googled the league table on his phone. I can see you from here. Put it away. I know, I can see it.
Yeah,
I don't do that. Take you
that's research. That's
unbelievable.
That's why my name's up on the board.
There actually isn't any league table related question.
Well, why did you just do that then?
Anyway, Matthew is on the line from Airdrie. How's it going, Matthew?
Not too bad.
Matthew, it says here you're an Aberdeen fan. Describe what life is like as an Aberdeen fan this week.
Not happy. I think changes are needed. Squad needs a clear out. More defence reinforcements, I would say.
But other than that, everything's fine. A signed ball from Gordon DL and Mark Wilson will make up for it, surely. That'll make you feel better about things.
Yes.
Good, I like he's thinking. You want to play the Dazzler? Let's see what we've got. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails,
is that what he says? He wants to play you?
Yeah, it will be.
you
won the other night, didn't you?
I've won the last three or four.
How did Marvin Bartley get on last night? Was it a victory for him? Yeah, he did. I think he won 5-3. Do you know what is bang out of order? Seriously, like genuinely though.
What?
People are coming on and calling him Martin.
I heard that last night.
Hold on though. Because there's, to elaborate, some as a joke for fun because you do it, and some are genuinely getting mixed up and thinking that's his name.
So it's easy to done.
So you're a trailblazer, basically.
I just call him
the big guy. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it is Gordon DL. And it is Tails.
Oh, see you later, Matthew.
Gets his.
Don't be nervous, Matthew.
Sounds nervous.
Pass.
I'm going to give Gordon some Clyde too. I'm going to turn his mic off before we hear him singing along. Matthew, there's 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that is fine by me, okay?
Yeah.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock. The time starts now. Name another Scottish team that George Cadetti played for other than Celtic.
George Cadetti, pass.
Which current Rangers player signed from Bologna in 2019?
Bologna, Hollander.
What Scotsman was announced as the new Forest Green Rovers boss today?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership's club stadium is furthest west?
Starville.
Name the only English side that Craig Gordon played with.
Gordon, Sunderland.
Name any current Dundee United player who previously played for Celtic.
Oh, Mulgrew.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Say that again, I'll turn your mic on this time.
Yes, I can.
Great, you ready?
Can I just shout so much?
Are you ready for this?
I'm excited. Go.
Let's go. Name another Scottish team George Cadetti played with other than Celtic. Which current Rangers player signed from Bologna in 2019?
Oh, Pat.
Which Scotsman was announced as the new Forest Green Rovers boss
Duncan
today?
Duncan Ferguson.
Which Scottish Premiership stadium is furthest west?
West? Pat.
Who's the only English team Craig Gordon played for?
Middlesbrough.
Name any current Dundee United player who's previously played for Celtic.
Say again, Dundee United player. Armstrong.
Why would you say Armstrong? If that was, I'm standing right here. Have you thought that was a question?
Why would you say Armstrong? But it wasn't a question. Matthew, do you think you've done enough?
Yeah, I think he's flapped.
Yes.
Craig Gordon, Sunderland, get that back.
I'm about to educate you here, right? Because you're missed. Well, we'll find out. I'll save it for now. George Cadetti.
I can't remember.
Partick Thistle.
No.
Yeah, it's true.
I'll tell you what. See if Matthew gets that. I'll deliver the ball myself.
He did not. The Rangers player who signed from Bologna is Philippe Helander.
I wouldn't have got that. I'm not really
kidding. Matthew got that.
No way. Did he?
Somebody must have told Matthew.
Great shout.
He's sitting around the table with the family.
Forest Green Rovers boss Duncan Ferguson, tell me you've seen the pictures, because obviously Forest Green are a very progressive club. They like to do things a bit differently. Is it the chairman or the owner? Let's just say he doesn't look like a typical chairman or owner.
I'm not
interested. The picture of him shaking hands with Duncan Ferguson is a sight to behold.
Two different characters.
Very, very different. It's an equaliser for you, Gordon DL.
He didn't get it, did he, Matthew?
Matthew did not get it. He's been busy today. Which Scottish Premiership stadium is furthest west?
I couldn't think at all. West. Go west. I still don't know. What is it?
Kilmarnock. You think you would know that, having managed in Ayrshire, you know?
Down the 77. Down off the 71.
That's the one.
Is it?
So what about... Could you not? Do you genuinely not know where West is?
Nah, not for here.
Or
usually for Motherwell, I'm okay. if you'd ask me in my hometown, I'd have, oh come on,
it's the same. Not
for
Clyde, it's the same
Bank.
West.
No, it's not.
I mean, I don't know. How
Matthew get that?
He's not a man that knows his compass.
I said Dundee United one. I asked you to repeat the question. You didn't repeat
Matthew
it.
Matthew said Darvel. He's a Darvel in the brain, but it was Kilmarnock. So it's still 1-1, isn't it?
Yeah. Poor game.
Yeah,
one all. Horrendous.
The only English team that Craig.
It's Sunderland. I said Sunderland.
He said Middlesbrough.
I know, but I said. Oh, sorry, I was wrong.
I have to accept your first
no!
answer.
No, oh, I'm going to beat me that.
And Matthew knew it.
Yes, Matthew.
It's not finished yet. It's not finished yet. And this was your problem. You started moaning and whinging and talking over me as I'm reading the questions. The only person who suffers there is you, because the question was, name any current Dundee United player who's previously played for Celtic.
Current Dundee United player?
I still don't really get. So you, what did you think the question was? Name any player who's played for Dundee United and Celtic ever. And you didn't say the guy next to you.
Why would you not say me? If that,
because I don't associate
was
you with Celtic. Anyway, I don't associate you with Dumbarton.
Tony Watt or Charlie Mulgrew. And Matthew got it. He's rubbing salt in the wounds.
Oh,
it was a 3-1.
No.
Well done, Matthew.
Thank you.
Okay, Matthew. Well done,
delighted.
Matthew.
That's horrendous.
I can't believe I get beat with him.
That was terrible.
I've witnessed some dross for you.
Do you know something?
Really,
I'm actually
poor.
Not bad when you're not here. I'm a hit or a miss with Beat the Pundit. I've just,
yes,
I've come
you're
up
having
with
a real bad season.
No, no,
you've
really
had two zeros in there.
I love a zero. I love
Matthew
a,
there.
I love a donut. Zero all day long.
You know,
I don't mind that, but I'd still blame Gordon sometimes. You need to be a wee bit clearer in the question.
Matthew understood it okay, didn't he?
Because Matthew had 45 seconds. I looked at the clock.
See, when earlier on I said I was down at your former school today speaking to the pupils, you know, even I'm too old for that sort of stuff. Like, I don't get the lingo that the kids use these days. So you two have got no chance. And three separate kids said, who on the show's got the best ball knowledge? Right? And that must be how they that must be how they, you know, refer to it, like football or what, right? And and somebody said, you know, it was funny the way they were asking about the show. Who's the really old guy on the show?
Shuggy.
Who's the really old guy? That was the level of questioning I was getting. Who's the guy that's rubbish at the quiz?
Did you say?
Did you say me?
But you've got two zeros.
I'll bet you I'm not bought me a table right now. I will bet you any money I'm not bought a big table.
Who else would it be?
You're consistently rubbish.
Shug's not very good.
He already took the title as the old guy in the show.
Exactly.
So he had to change it up.
What did Richard Gere get? The good looking boy.
He's the talking about him. So you'd rather have it that your way, wouldn't you?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So I like flying under.
Can I believe Matthew?
Right.
Oh,
01419511.
I don't sleep properly at night after
this. Is your problem? Don't talk over me and you won't get yourself in trouble.
I'm concerned about my sleep part.
Turning his mic off. Right. just before the end of the show last night, there was a bit of breaking news, and it meant we didn't really get the chance to take calls on it or react to it. So it's bubbled away today, and I'm keen to get your thoughts, Aberdeen fans, or anyone who has an interest in this, because Jim Goodwin will remain in his Aberdeen job for now following the defeat to Darvel. There had obviously been a lot of speculation about whether he could survive, and he has. Very open, clear statement from Chairman Dave Cormack, talking about a disastrous result, totally unacceptable, added insult to injury. He then used a term I'd never heard before, the Football Monitoring Board, whoever they may be, Stuart Millen, Willie Garner, Steve Gunn and me, they've had a meeting with Jim. It wasn't an easy conversation, but Jim will be in the dugout on Saturday. However, to be clear, Jim's been left in no doubt that they're seeking an immediate response from him and the players. What does that all mean, Mark Wilson? Does that mean, well done Jim, you're still the man for us, but don't win on Saturday and you're gone? Or am I being too literal?
It certainly seems like that to us on the outside, because it's quite a strong statement at the end. A couple of feelings on it. One way, I like it, because it isn't reactive, that we've got so used to now, after a result like that, that the chairman or the board come out hours after or the day after, and the manager and the coaching team are gone. And I've been in that position before as a player, where you've got a manager one night and the next morning he's away. On the other side, you know, he's given him a chance to redeem himself. I'm sure the Aberdeen fans have other opinions, but in the other sense, I wonder if he's buying himself time. You know, he knows that Saturday's game is a huge game. Do they have the staff in place? If they had to remove Jim Goodwin to put someone in place to manage the squad through that, I don't really know, but maybe it's a tactic to buy time. Either way, if Jim's got an opportunity, if they go Easter Road and they put on a good performance and they win comfortably, then he buys himself time.
Okay, let's test the temperature of the Aberdeen fans then on this, because Karen's an Aberdeen fan from Lanark. What did you make of that when you heard it or read it last night, Karen?
First of all, I would thought, what's the definition of an immediate response? Mm-hmm. Because I looked at Jim Goodwin's record from the away matches throughout the season. We've played 11 matches, we've conceded 27 goals, scored 9, and we've only won twice, and taken 5 points from a possible 33. So I think the definition of immediate response, I think it should be looked at over the next 3 or 4 games. And the third game we'll be playing next is Celtic away. We've got Hibs, then Motherwell at home and Celtic away. And I think anything short of 6 points from these 3 matches isn't good enough.
You're not quite buying this reading of it, some people saying that, you know, he still could be gone if he loses at Easter Road, for instance. You don't think it's quite as immediate as that?
I think he should be gone if they lose at Easter Road. He should have been gone the day after the Darvel match. I was on last Thursday after the debacle against Hearts, and I said it would be curtains for him if he didn't defeat Darvel. And I know there's an analogy being given about how Hearts stood by Robbie Nielsen when they get beat by Broda, but I think it's a different kettle of fish when you look at Jim Goodwin's overall record in the league this season.
What did you make of last night, Gordon? We've been over the Darvel game specifically a bit, but that last night, that statement, what did you make of it?
I thought it was a ridiculous statement.
Well, did you?
Yeah, I really did. I think Jim will be over the moon that he's got an opportunity to turn it round on Saturday and give him a bit of breathing space. But if he doesn't win Saturday, then they'll obviously go and pull the trigger. And I don't think that's a way to lead a football club. I don't think it's a way to...
You really think it is like that? Because that's kind of the way I read bits of it, but... What's the point in that then? Why are you making a statement at all?
I think what he's done is he's just put every single bit of pressure taken away from himself and the board and put it all on Jim and says,
right, Football Monitoring Board, if you don't mind.
Right, okay, Football Monitoring Board. But what he's done is he's shied away from the responsibility in my book and put every single bit of responsibility on Jim Goodwin's head. Simple and straightforward as that. And you can sugarcoat it any way you want. If I was an Aberdeen fan watching the chairman and watching, you know, people making decisions at top level, and that's the statements are coming out with, I'd be very disappointed in the club.
Karen, what about the way it's been handled then? I mean, you think it's the wrong decision ultimately. You think he should have paid the price for Darvel. What about the weight? Is there any bit of you that likes the coming out and making the statement, and you know, if it is a vote of confidence, is there anything in that you can admire?
I don't think it's a vote of confidence. I think it's the board sitting in the fence, and I tend to think, I agree with certain aspects what Gordon said, but at the end of the day, Jim Goodwin is paid to make these football decisions. He was given quite a good budget, and he hasn't invested in enough depth in the defence, and he's been playing players out of position most of the season.
Did you think he would survive Monday? Not so much what you would have done, I mean, in terms of the football landscape, did you think you would have survived?
No, I didn't. I think I'm with everybody else. When you see a result of that magnitude, it's very difficult, or very rare, should I say, that you see a manager then survive that. That's why I said I quite like that there's one last opportunity. Isn't just reactive to that result. Daz is right. The pressure on
if it is just one last opportunity. Not much to like about it then, is it? It's not that honourable. It's not that huge.
I tell you what, if I'm Jim Goodwin, I tell you what I prefer.
Yeah.
Either taking your team to Easter Road with one last shot, or waking up on Tuesday morning.
Interesting, because that's exactly what Marvin Bartley says. It's almost like you professionals that, you know, that's it, fine, give me a chance and I'll...
Jim sitting in the house or analysing the game Monday must have thought, I'm out of job by Tuesday, Wednesday. Must have thought that. It's not just, people are saying one result. Now, you can put up an argument for Jim. I don't want Jim Goodwin. So I like Jim. I think he's got a great career in the game coming forward. But he's at a big, big club that expects so much. Carr makes a great point there. This isn't just Monday's result for them was a disaster. Brilliant, obviously, for Darvel, and well done to them. Carr makes a great point there. 11 away games, 5 points out of 33. They come off a 5-0 drubbing against Tynecastle, against Hearts as well. So Aberdeen fans see that as Hearts, what you'd probably say, third biggest team in Scotland. Aberdeen think they're the third biggest team in Scotland, right? You can have that argument all day long. I'm not interested in that. But the facts are there. Now, you can look at the table and say, yeah, they're still in the top six, but if results go against them this weekend, they're out of the top six. I was very surprised. I'm delighted for Jim, right? Because Jim's a winner. He was a winner as a player. He was a winner as a manager, in the sense of, I thought he was brilliant at St Mirren. He's went up to Aberdeen. He's been back to the hill. Now, I will back the board and everyone concerned in that. They've backed him. They've brought in players. They've spent good money. But they expect results. They don't expect to Monday nights at Darvel. They don't expect to look really poor against a Hearts side that didn't really have to play at top gear to beat them 5-0. I sat and watched the game. Their record has been very poor.
Thank you to Karen. The worst thing about that, though, with Karen, is that he's stolen your research. I saw him write down your stats, and he's going to mention them as if they're his at the weekend.
No, not at all. I will do. Thank you, Karen. Any more, get in touch.
Back to school days.
Take care, Karen.
Yeah. We were chatting about that.
Copy and homework.
That was Karen and Lanark. What about Robbie, Aberdeen fan from Aberdeen? Were you unfortunate enough to be down at Darvel, Robbie?
Hi, lads. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
Yes, unfortunately, I was.
Jeez. Have you recovered?
I'm still in disbelief, not just from the result on Monday night, but that statement last night, it just had a lot of people's heads shaking, and it's ultimately, possibly, left Aberdeen even more of a laughing stock than the result itself on Monday night. And I'll have to eat humble pie and say that I wanted Jim Goodwin as manager when Derek McInnes left, and thought he was the upcoming, as you guys are saying, he's a good guy and he speaks a good game, but it just doesn't seem to be the right fit. It's too much, in my personal point of view. If that result on Monday was in isolation, it's bad enough. But it's been alarm bells ringing since that 4-0 defeat to then bottom of the table Dundee United. So for then that away form being so poor, and then that statement to acknowledge a strong performance in the semi-final against Rangers at Hampden, which they lost, just so much things coupled together, it just seems that it's prolonged and inevitable for Jim, which is quite sad, to be honest. It feels like they're going to end up in a bit of a vicious cycle.
Yeah, so your reading of that last night then, Robbie, you thought that brought more confusion than clarity. Does it mean, you know, lose at the weekend and you're sacked anyway? What's your reading of it?
Yeah, to me it felt like a bit like a head teacher when it's like your last warning or you're expelled sort of thing, because it's like Jim has been left in no doubt that the board and the fans are seeking immediate response to him and the players. But for me, how could a defeat at Easter Road top losing to a 6th-year rival? I know there's all that argument the West of Scotland League is competitive, but Aberdeen shouldn't have been losing that game. And then in that same paragraph, we met with the senior players and they're behind the manager. You guys probably watched the game on Monday. A lot of listeners did. I was at it. There was very little animation from the sidelines. There was very little from the players. And when Dyville took the lead, it was actually no surprise to see them ending up holding on and going on to win the game, because Aberdeen lacked fight and looked like he wasn't playing for the manager. And that said a lot that Graham Shinney, who was brought in this month to a lot of fanfare, sat on the bench and didn't even come on during that game when he probably was crying out for a leadership such from him.
Yeah, I wonder, Robbie, where you sit on the counter-argument, if you can call it that, where some people keep pointing out to Aberdeen and Hibs, it's funny how they're lumped together and they play each other this weekend. You can't keep sacking managers. You just can't keep sacking managers every time there's a sticky spell. Is this Dave Cormack trying to be conscious of that? Is he trying to buck that trend of being knee-jerk?
Yeah, I think he is. But I also feel that statement, which I personally thought a lot of fans were getting restless, and probably if he was going to release that statement and had all these meetings, probably should have been released from the Football Monitoring Board on Tuesday morning. Like, the wait for that statement was a bit too long. But I do see the argument that Aberdeen and Hibs, the bit of parallels between them, they just seem to be going this merry-go-round, round and round, and not fulfilling their potential, when there's other teams on smaller budgets like Livingston punching them over their weight and outfighting them, or even Dyville. And you think to yourself, there has to come a point where you stick with a manager. But not to go into it too much, but the fact that the recruitment and the director of football and everything seems disjointed behind the scenes, I don't actually think it's all just on Jim Goodwin. He'll bear the brunt of it. But I think if he does leave, it could give a good time for Cormack to look behind the scenes and have a proper restructuring, try to get the club back to some respectable level again, because as much as it probably was time for Derek McInnes to depart, he had them at that level of competing in Europe, getting to Hampden a couple of times a season, and I guess being up there with the Old Firm. So yeah, it's a lot of pressure now. You wouldn't even say he's back to the manager, but with what he said, there's a lot of pressure, not just on Goodwin, but on the board to now get it right, because you could tell from the response on social media that the majority weren't too happy with what was made and said last night.
Yeah, I know, like, social media teams up and down the country just measure everything on the level of engagement they get on tweets, but it's just not always a good thing. That tweet last night from Aberdeen has been viewed 1.8 million times, apparently. I'm not sure many people are saying, well done, guys, you got that bang on. Thank you to Robbie. We'll be back with more next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dl are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Matthew Breckenridge tweeted, I'm quite looking forward to El Sacchio at Easter Road on Saturday. But then again, I don't support Hibs or Aberdeen. Is this just... Is it seriously that? Is it at that stage, or is that just a bit of fun for everyone else from the outside who can make these
jokes?
You know
what I always find weird? Football's the only industry where that becomes fun and a joke, is laughing at people getting the sack. Is it real? I don't actually know, because I'm with everybody else. I don't know what the statement the other day was about. I read it like, you've got one last chance. Maybe Dave Cormack meant something different. Lee Johnson, again, I'm not too sure what's going on at Hibs. I don't know how many lives he'll have, or if it's the right time or not. It's hard to predict what's in store for both clubs and both managers this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a pressure pot for both managers, desperate for a win. I think all eyes will be in that game, especially if a team, say it's a 2 or a 3-0, The opposition manager, the manager that loses it, I think he'll come under the spotlight. I don't think Jim will survive another, you know, a poor defeat.
No?
No. I think he'll be out the door by Sunday or Monday.
Lee Johnson as critical or not quite, or, you know, he's not had some big statement written about him, I guess, if that's any barometer. But
the one with Lee Johnson is, see, when you get beat with your rivals twice in the space of, was that 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3-0? I mean, that's not something you want in your report card.
I think presumably goes into them without Kevin Nisbet and Ryan Poulter. Yeah. Goes into the game, so
I think
that'll
come
things
into consideration from the powers above. I think Lee Johnson's still got a little bit of breathing space. I know the Hibs fans have not taken to him, turned against him a little bit, but I think the board above will probably give him a little bit more breathing space. I think Jim needs a win.
Let me check your teaser tonight quickly to give you as much time as possible. We've got a very straightforward question. I don't know how straightforward the answers will be. Can you name the Scottish top flight's ten all-time top scorers from the last 20 seasons? So I suppose it's not all-time, but the top 10 scorers from the last 20 seasons.
Chris Boyd?
Yes. So it's from 2002-03 to 22-23. Chris Boyd is top of the list.
Larson?
No.
No?
No. Because from 2002-03 to whenever he left.
All right.
Tell me, yeah. I'm going to go a real throw.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm
so he didn't get.
Okay,
I don't know.
So when
he got 58 goals in that time.
Five, right. Okay, he left something like that, did he? 2000.
Boy, get 58 in one season.
No.
Did you say?
No, just forget it. Move on.
Let's go with Lee Griffiths.
Yes, you're doing them in order here. Boyd, Griffiths.
I was going to say Chris Collins. He scored a lot of goals one season.
Why are you worried about
Kenny Miller
one season?
Kenny Miller.
You don't listen to the questions.
No, I don't.
It's 20. It's in that 20-year period.
All combined, right?
Combined. So it doesn't matter what he did in one season. Kenny Miller, yes, friend of the show.
One does. Come on.
Naismith, maybe?
No.
Stokes?
Yes. Well done. Okay, we'll leave it there. And we'll get the rest before the end. And if you want to send a question in, by the way, please do. I'd love to have them. Send them over to us fulltime@clyde1.com and we'll try and use them on the show like we have this one. Good question that. So we'll check in before the end of the show. There's been a statement from Hearts tonight. I quite like it just for its saltiness, Mark Wilson. Don't know if it rivals Dave Cormack's yet, but there was a bit of speculation, as I'm sure you saw, about Toby Sibbick in bids from Blackpool. Hearts have issued a statement. Contrary to comments attributed to Blackpool manager Mick McCarthy, we can confirm Blackpool submitted one bid for Toby on Monday at 8:33pm, to be precise, which was dismissed out of hand. Subsequently, Blackpool have been told Toby, a much valued part of our team, is not for sale. For anyone to suggest we have not been honest about the situation is in itself extremely disingenuous. And the club would prefer to conduct all matters in private, but we will not sit back and let the good name of Heart of Midlothian be besmirched.
That's a strong statement.
Aye. And to the point, and pretty open. I like
with,
that.
Not happy with Mick McCarthy, by the looks of it.
Aye, good. Well, if they're not happy, they're quite entitled to come out and say. Hearts fans will be delighted with that statement.
What a turnaround for Toby Sibbick, though. A figure of much criticism, verging on ridicule earlier this season. He's now running 80 yards, dinking the goalkeeper in Edinburgh Derby's.
Sure finish. Good finish.
Bids knocked back from other clubs because Hearts want to keep him so much.
You're not wanting to sell him to Blackpool, do you? It's not the same down in Blackpool. People don't go there.
What?
It's not really a big club. That's it. The boys.
I thought you were talking about the pleasure beach and stuff. Like the tourist attraction.
The Pepsi Max is about the only thing you're in your day. No, you love the Blackpool.
But what it has been some time for him, hasn't it?
Well, it has. It just goes to show you how quickly, you know, your fortunes can turn around for whatever reason. He wasn't performing well at the start of the season, and you know, look at him last week. Where I gave him the goal of the weekend, didn't I? Because I was. Outstanding. The, you know, the determination in the 96th minute to get up there and then the composure to finish it. So he's been a mainstay of the Hearts team now. And Robbie Nielsen's right. He doesn't need to sell anyone. He's not under pressure getting rid of anyone. He's serious about finishing third. and he's got something good going at Hearts just now. So unless something ridiculous comes in terms of money for him, he's going nowhere.
Yeah, I suppose it's such contrast, isn't it? Because Hibs are about to sell their two biggest assets. That the contractual situation for Ryan Porteous is what it is, so they kind of have to. Kevin Nisbet, I noticed they're trying a bit of a clear out as well, if even continuing a clear out from last week. Winger Dimitri Mitchell has left Hibs to join Exeter. I did also notice that no new signings expected at Dundee United. Just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, producer Callum. Let me gauge it. You're the sole spokesman for the Dundee United support. No new signings before the end of the window. Is that a bat? Is that thumb up, thumb down? Dreadful, he says. Dreadful. He's not happy with that news.
Really?
Is that what you expected? Did you expect maybe a bit of business to be
at
done
at Dundee United?
Well, to be fair, I think he said he's.
I'm not sure about that, Gordon. I think.
Nah, hold on. Maybe I've kind of fallen for the headline a little bit. Right, I think. Let me just make sure that's exactly what he says. I'd be surprised if anything happened before Sunday. We're still looking to add, but it's got to be right. I'm not going to take risks for the sake of it. If we came out the window with nothing, I'm still happy with what I've got.
Yeah. But looking at them,
so
just
maybe,
now,
maybe not a blanket no to more business then.
Of course, well, all managers kind of say that, don't they? When they're not, you know, they don't want to raise fans' hopes, but you often see somebody just sneaking in deadline day. But if you're Liam Fox just now, you're looking at your recent form, you look at the bottom half of that table, and we of course have got the colour coded, you know, draw, loss. Dundee United are the only one with a wee bit of green in there for a couple of games won, and they performed well against Rangers at times, so he's got them in a decent place just now. But I think every manager in that league would hope that they could get players in to improve their current squad. He'll be no different.
Is it wrong? I don't ever really pay much attention to that colour coded league table.
Enjoy
that producer
it.
Callum puts
like
on the window.
It makes it very easy to read.
Because one glance has told me that the bottom six teams have got three wins between them in the last five fixtures each.
That's
remarkable.
It's incredible.
Anyway,
it's incredible.
That's the first time I've ever noticed it. What about you? Have you been contacted yet? Actually,
what for?
I heard you were going to. They were going to. Motherwell were going to phone you.
Yeah.
To see if you could put Riku Danzaki up in your flat. You could be like a sort of mentor come tour guide. You know, if anyone's going to come from Japan, Australia, and need,
I'll show them the shite.
Cultural integration to the way of Motherwell, you could be the man.
I don't think Motherwell will be in contact with me.
You get the spare bed.
They would like the boy at training most days. yeah, it's not far to go. The expenses would be okay.
Exactly.
Listen, that's a good wee business. I never thought of that. Know what I mean?
What?
A tour guide?
No, putting a lad, you know, in the bay window.
In your flat?
Stick
on my goodness. Imagine that. Ruined after a week.
Colour TV, everything.
But he was pictured arriving at the airport yesterday. So I guess that one's imminent. No secret, Stevie Hamill has to do something, Gordon.
Yeah,
if you look
big
at the
weekend
form, I think
as
that
well.
Would be the fourth signing. They're also maybe trying to free up some space, maybe some money, depending on the structure of the loan deals, because I noticed Barry Maguire's gone to Dundee. So it's important teams try and get this window right.
Yeah, I was watching them training today, in good spirits, the boys, so I'm wishing them all the best.
Told you he does nothing at the gym. Up at the window.
What, are you really watching them?
Yeah. I got about, don't you worry about that. But that's a big weekend. Against some Mirren team who... at home we're doing very, very well. They've went off the boil a bit. That's got to be a real tight, tense game as well in Paisley. Looking forward to it. I think weekend's fixtures are really, really good. I'm looking forward to it.
I guarantee you, Stevie Hamill nudges Brian Kerr every time he sees him at the window. The old guy's back. go and send somebody round to speak to him. He doesn't talk to us.
He's going to appear tomorrow, and mysteriously there's going to be a big set of blinds up on the window to that indoor pitch that you've been hanging about on.
But I did say for Motherwell and Stevie Hamill a couple of weeks ago that these 2 weeks were crucial for him, not in terms of games, but who he actually gets in the building to help him out. Look, he's been backed. It's whether these players are any good. Mandron, the other week there, comes and scores two in his first start. Does he keep Van Veen on the bench this week? Don't know about that, but he's done his chances no harm.
Oh, of course he has. He's got to play him.
Yeah?
Oh, got to play him. You score a brace, you've got to be played.
Big league games this weekend, that's for sure. Right, we'll go back onto the phones in just a second, quickly on this teaser.
In the last
20 seasons, name the top scorers in the Scottish top flight across that 20 seasons. So all their goals combined, you've got Boyd, Griffiths, Kenny Miller, Anthony Stokes.
I'm going Nacho Nova.
Don't bother.
No, I'm not going. No.
Derek Riordan.
Yes.
Where did you get him for?
Hibs and Celtic.
Any more? That's halfway.
Is his mate there? No. Gary O'Connor.
Is his mate?
Gary O'Connor. No. Nah. There's got to be a Hearts one there.
Does there?
Is there? Schedule?
No. Ridiculous answer.
Nah, that is a bad answer.
You need 76 top flight goals to get on this list.
You need 76?
76 over that 20 year period.
Ooh.
Is there a few?
Stephen Thompson?
No.
That's a great shoot.
I'll give you some time, okay? We'll do the answers next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the home straight then, with Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. They're trying their best to come up with the answers to this teaser tonight. Now remember, if you've never heard this before, the aim of the game: you send the questions in, they try and come up with the answers. So tonight the question: can you name the top 10 Scottish top flight goal scorers from across the last 20 seasons? So that entire period: Chris Boyd, Lee Griffiths, Kenny Miller, Anthony Stokes, Derek Riordan. Did you get any during the break?
Yep, old teammate of mine, Skippy, Scott McDonald,
Adam Rooney.
Scott McDonald is third on the list, by the way, yeah, behind Boyd and Griffiths.
Good player, Scotty.
Adam Rooney scored barrel loads up at.
Adam Rooney is on the list. Well done.
Good shot.
Right, we've thrown in a random here. Mark and I have decided to go for
What's
it.
Random about it?
Don't think it's right, but I'm brave enough to come out
great.
With it. Willie Mackay.
Yes.
Decide on that. Good teamwork, Daz. Well done.
Any Motherwell?
What was the Celtic one you mentioned to me during the break?
James E. Forrest.
No. 66 league goals. Okay. Let's bring in Gus, who's on the line. Hi, Gus.
Hi, how you doing? Okay.
Good, how are you?
Hope you're all well.
Thank you. What's your point tonight?
My point is, I know Michael Beale is not an advocate of taking loan players at the moment, but I just feel that Billy Gilmore has been lost down in England. He's not getting any game time. The Blues are superstar in Scotland. I think if he can make it down south, I think he deserves another chance. Possibly, if Rangers could possibly sign him on a loan deal, with maybe in the future a purchase. What do the panel think?
What do you think?
I'm a big fan of Billy Gilmore. I think he's an excellent player. I think he would fit any team up here. It's whether the player would be motivated to do it, the clubs would be willing to let it go, and Rangers could match what the clubs would ask for him.
I mean, to be fair, Gus does acknowledge that Michael Beale said no loans, and then goes on to just still test out the water. I mean, with the suggestion, he said no loans.
There are no loans, and then there are loans that come along that's worth it. Listen, no loans. I read into Michael Beale, he's not wanting loans from development squads down south, that are players that haven't really sampled first team football, who come up here and they think it's going to be easy, and before you know it, they're shipped back down. But if you've got a player like Gilmore, who's an international player, who's played at the top level, then I think that's a wee bit different. I think people would be open to that.
He didn't say that. He said no more loans.
No more loans. So I take Michael Beale at his word. So
Mark Wilson thinks Michael Beale is a liar. There's your headline for tomorrow.
No more loans, but maybe a loan. That's what Mark's thinking.
Right, hold on. Michael Beale gets offered.
Don't give me a really stupid name here.
A world class player, right?
Yeah, don't do it.
Right, a world class player on loan, and he's going, nah, no loans.
No loans.
Ah, don't talk nonsense.
No loans.
Shut up.
No loans, Beale.
Gus, do you think he seems, well, obviously Rangers have got Todd Cantwell, Nicholas Raskin. If that's going to go over the line, I don't know where Billy Gilmore fits into all this, but you'd like to see it, the question asked.
Well, it's one of the panel said, I mean, any team would take him on, hopefully except for Celtic, but he's a player that needs to get back into the Scotland team, and he's not getting the playing hours down south. He's left in a quandary. I was listening to a few podcasts and, you know, watching his career, and it seems to be going downhill. He's getting left on the bench. He's not getting hours, and he needs to get himself recognised again, even to get back in the Scotland squad. It's just a shame for us that we've put that amount of money and time in a player, and he's just going to get forgotten about.
It is a real frustrating one, Mark, because people will accuse, you know, maybe media, fans, whatever, of this just shows that, you know, you overreacted or you hyped up Billy Gilmore. But I genuinely don't think that was the case.
No,
you look at some of his early performances, Chelsea, you look at that night at Wembley in the Euro, you know, you can't fluke that stuff. What happens is, fine, Chelsea are a interesting situation, can't quite force his way in there, gets this move to Brighton, still for decent money, and then the manager changes. You do need the cards to fall in your favour a little bit, yeah. just to give you a foothold, just to give you.
He's a victim of his own success, because he goes to Chelsea and there's not many people that break into that side and play and get man of the match. So he was a standout there when he broke in. Comes into your national team, and no, but didn't he build him up? He did that himself with his performances. He got the move to another Premier League club because he's good enough. But sometimes a manager's style just doesn't suit you yet, and his career stalled. He is still young. He can offer a lot. He will still play a lot of times for Scotland, believe me, and be one of your standout players. But he's just found himself in a difficult position at the minute. It's not as if he's playing in the third division in England. He's still at a Premier League club, so there's plenty of options there. It's who's willing to take him and fit him in his side and build the side around him, because that's what he needs. He's a playmaker. He can dictate play. And if Rangers can match what he's wanting, then I think it'd be a good move for him.
If it's not Rangers, Gordon, would you still like it to be somewhere this January? As Gus says, even if you look at it through a tartan lens.
In my opinion, he needs to find a home, Gordon. He's been to Norwich as well. Didn't work for him. Brighton, he's Chelsea. Massive. Look at the amount of players they've got out on loan, talent they've got, and you can totally understand that. The lad needs to find somewhere that a manager believes in him. He gets an opportunity to play, and I think he'll just improve. But he needs to find the right fit, and just now he's not found that for me. And I think it's put the boy's career, because let's not be kidding, he's a very talented individual, but his career's at a standstill now. He needs to try and move that forward.
Thank you, Gus. It's always an interesting suggestion, that one. We'll keep an eye on it. That was Gus on the line there. Probably, yeah, I'd say the final caller of tonight. The clock is ticking away, but thank you to Gus. And if you want to write the number down for tomorrow, 01419511025. Do you know what I noticed there? You talk about, you know, Jim Goodwin, Lee Johnson. Who'd get involved in this madhouse that is football management? A player who'd played up here previously, not for long, Kolo Touré, binned by Wigan.
No.
6 weeks.
Really? See, that's the world of management now.
59 days, to be precise. So
silly stuff.
More than
6 weeks, that is ridiculous.
This is where owners have to take more responsibility. You know, they're the ones that employ, and I get the majority of them pay the money, but you can't just go about sacking people's livelihoods.
What was that zipping noise in here?
Mark,
please tell me it was a zip going in an upwards direction. Yeah. That's what the listeners need to know.
If it wasn't, you'll need to put that table down.
Was it that Gilly? Was it that Gilly of yours?
By the way, that is a new
Gilly Christmas number, isn't it?
Who's got you that?
I've got hundreds of these. It's just a wee golfing outfit.
Can you not wait for the show to finish to put it back on?
I'm preparing myself for
exit. Why are you wearing golf if you don't play golf?
No, just wearing that.
You've got a sore knee. You're not on the golf course. Yet you're still dressed.
I'm sort of a casual.
It's the glove that's annoying me. Oh, that was over the top, must admit.
The Pro V on the floor.
Anyway, right, you've got two more of the top 10 Scottish top flight scorers from the last 20 years. Boyd, Griffiths, Miller, Stokes, Riordan, McDonald, Rooney, Billy Mackay.
You said there was a Motherwell guy in there, didn't you? Yes, I think you did.
Okay.
I think I've got him.
I got him. Scott McDonald.
No,
it's another one.
No. He scored goals with other clubs as well. St Mirren, in the right lines here.
Michael Higden.
John Sutton.
Yes.
John Sutton. Oh, that's
you
good.
Washed that surprise tone out of your mouth right now, Mark Wilson.
John Sutton, of course.
96 goals, I'll have you know.
Really? Yeah. Big handful was John. Yeah.
Right, we're missing one.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. Can we have a little clue?
Boyce.
No. Probably a former teammate of Mark Wilson's at one point, I would have thought.
Celtic.
Also played for Aberdeen.
Barry Robson.
No, come on. Aberdeen.
Lee Miller.
And Dundee.
Oh, I've got it. Play the tune. I like this bit.
Niall McGinn.
Oh, so that's me.
Yes. Oh, have that, Dazza.
That's ridiculous.
That's mines. Can you clip that up, producer Callum? I'm going to use that. Like an absolute schoolboy. That's mines, says Gordon DL. And on that note, we will leave you there. It was a pleasure as always. Thank you for all your calls and your tweets and for keeping us company tonight. We're back tomorrow on the eve of another Premiership weekend. What will tomorrow bring in the transfer market? Well, Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell will be right across it, whatever it is. So join them from six tomorrow, and Johnny Campbell is up next.